You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
There once was a little boy who was crushed to find out that his little sister was very sick. The little boy had been taught to pray, and so he rushed to prayer with God and asked God to please heal his little sister. In time, the little boy's sister died with her sickness, and that little boy became angry with God. Now, today in the world, that little boy is a grown man. He's a very wealthy man and an influencer of a lot of people. He has said some very hateful things toward people who believe in God, and he himself has been an atheist for a long, long time. Is there a lesson to be learned here? Let's talk about this. It's very important for us to understand that God has a will. As we pray to Him, this always needs to be in our mind that we don't know all things that God should do. We don't have a clue sometimes what actually God is going to do. We don't have a right to order God to demand that He do a certain thing, and if He doesn't do that thing, then we find an excuse to be angry with God, to deny Him, to walk away from Him, to make light of Him, and to despise Him. That's the lesson here. It's very important that we understand that God has a will. He knows more than we do. And we need to be very careful in the way that we teach this to others, especially the younger ones around us. Isaiah chapter 55 has some great truth for us here. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So because God knows so much more than we know, since His ways are so far beyond our own understanding, does this mean that our prayers should always only ask for God's will? Well, now that is a very common thought I find. I hear a lot of people say that we should just pray for God's will. Well, if that were true, friend, wouldn't our prayer lives be pretty short and simple? And yet, doesn't the Bible tell us to never cease our praying? Are we to wake up in the morning before breakfast and just say, "Lord, let your will be done in everything that affects me"? Well, obviously, that wouldn't be true, would it? Well, there's a misunderstanding, it seems to me, and I think it probably has its roots in a very good verse or two in the Bible, James, and chapter 4 now, if you can join me there, and look with me at verses 13 and 14. The Bible is so clear here, and it shouldn't be misunderstood. James says this, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." So here, doesn't James reflect what Isaiah told us? That the Lord knows so much more than we know, and we know nothing. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less a year from now. My mama taught me from a little boy, "Freddie, we don't have the promise of tomorrow." Amen, mama. It's true. So I just shouldn't go and make a great announcement about where I'll be and what I'll be doing and what success I may find a year from now without God. So the lesson of James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14 is this is an announcement of a person's plan. That's what it is. That's all it is. It's not a prayer. This is an announcement of a person's plan who is making an announcement without even being mindful about God's purpose and plan. It doesn't even have God's knowledge in it. This person is arrogant, and that's why James puts this person and that plan under rebuke with God. And that needs to be understood on its face. There's not a prayer in James chapter 4, 13 and 14, just an announcement of a perhaps arrogant person planning without God. And now let's look together at Philippians chapter 4, and you'll see a big difference here in the command of God. Philippians chapter 4 now, and verse number 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And so here is Paul. He too is in the same vein as Isaiah and James. He acknowledges the fact that God knows so much more. God's knowledge, in fact, is infinite. But James chapter 4 is very different than Philippians chapter 4. Paul now is talking about prayer. And he tells us to not be careful for anything. That word careful means full of care. It means that you're stressed out over something. And Paul says, no, don't be all stressed out. Don't be anxious about anything. But, now but means instead of that, rather than that, do this. Let your requests be made known unto God. He says that when we make this prayer, that we include with it supplication. Now, the word prayer is a very general word. It means a request. But the word supplication is a very specific request. And Paul is calling us to make that kind of prayer to God. Fill God in with details. Now, why do we need to tell God details about what we're going through or about what we want Him to do? Is it to give Him knowledge He doesn't know? No, He already knows everything. Well, why do we detail it to God? Because that's the kind of prayer He wanted His kids to make. He wants us to communicate and to be detailed about it all. God, though His thoughts are higher than ours, He's called us to let Him know what our thoughts are. Wow, what an awesome God who bends His knee to speak to a child who knows nothing, who doesn't have a clue, yet God cares about that child's limited thoughts and every request. We should include thanksgiving here, that God is in this thing with us, and we're so thankful for it. So here's the misunderstanding, maybe, that a lot of people seem to think that James 4 is telling us to just want God's will. Well, we do need to acknowledge God's will. We need to understand that God has a will, and our will is nothing compared to His. And yet, the misunderstanding can be cleared up to know that God calls His children to pray, and He asks us to pray with our very specific requests. God our Father is telling us He wants to hear what we want Him to do. Amen. Amen. So we make our requests. We give God our pitiful thoughts, knowing full well in our minds that God may tell his child, "No, child, we're not going to go the direction that you like, because my will is much greater. My plans are going to be better if we go this way." But God wants to know, and perhaps God will make his will in the end of it all be the very thing that we've asked him that it would be. In Mark chapter 9, there's a great verse here. And the disciples have come to Jesus. They say, "Lord, we've been commanding these demons and they don't come out. What's wrong?" And Jesus tells them this: "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And so the disciples need to get busy praying, don't they? They need to pray God's will. Well, no, they're praying something very specific. "God, make that demon leave." And that's commanded by Jesus, that we pray this way. Now, here's another great verse from the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. Again, we find this principle that we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to storm the prayer room in heaven and make our requests made known to our loving Father. Hebrews 4, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. We have a great high priest. The Father is in heaven, and his Son is his high priest. And that high priest at the right hand, at the throne of God, is receiving prayers from the children of God in the world. And he calls us to go to that throne of grace and make our requests be made known to God, that we may have the mercy of God in our trials. That's good. That's good. I hope that's enlightening to you, friend, and is very helpful to you to shape your prayer life. We get it that God has a will. We may or may not even understand it in the here and now. But he calls us to pray according to what we know, according to what we desire. It's okay to ask God for something we want. We're his mere children. But we understand that children don't command the Father what he should do, but to make a request to God is his expectation and the throne room of heaven. I have brain cancer. I know that God is my Father. I know that God has a will for me through the cancer. God is always working. In many ways and on many levels, God is working. I'm just his kid, but you better believe that I'm praying for a healing at my house. And friend, I'd ask you to make that prayer for me as well. We acknowledge in the end of it all that God may have a higher purpose of which we don't know, but we're still called and blessed to have an open throne room that we can make the prayer of a child be made known to God. Jesus showed us the perfect example of this in Matthew 26. In the trial for his own life, he bends his knees in the garden and makes his prayer to God. Matthew 26 and verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" Do you see what undergirds this prayer is God's will, but the prayer request is made. And a little while later, Jesus said it like this: "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Make use, friend, of the awesome privilege you have as a child of God to go to that throne room. Amen.
This episode is a production of Focus Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. For questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, you can write to us at Focus Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, 30633. For more information about our ministry, you can visit our website, freddiecoile.org. That's FREDDIECOILE.org. We hope to see you again for next week's episode of Focus on the Bible.